Well, you better grab some friends or text somebody or send someone a message or warm up the coffee, whatever you got to do, because we are about to have our digital service for Christ Church of Flagstaff. I hope that you feel welcome from us every Sunday as we do this and gather together digitally. Here's what's about to happen. We are going to have this service. Our senior pastor, Chris, is going to give some teaching at different moments, and then you're going to hear us sing some songs together through our worship leaders. And just to remind you, that is a time for us just to reflect and to be more centered on this message that we believe in, that we believe is from Jesus, and this incredible hope that we share. And so I just want to encourage you in these different moments as we share and talk, invite you into all these ways that we can be a part of what's going on locally. I just want to encourage you to just take a minute and remove all the distractions that you have going on around you as best as you can, and to turn off your phone or quiet your phone and join us for this digital service. We welcome you. And before we begin, let me just remind you, if you have questions, you want to reach out to us, want to connect with one of us or a life group or anything like that, please feel free to download our app, check us out online, and reach out to us. We will get back to you very quickly and make sure that we can help you connect with all the things going on here at CCOF. Thanks for joining us.
April 12th is Easter, and we're just going to have a great time together in this new format, and I hope you're as excited as I am. We're going to start our presentation, our services at 9:45 for kids, for students. We have some special things for them, and then our main service is going to premiere on the 12th at 10 a.m. Who is it you can invite? As we're here on Palm Sunday a week ahead, who is it you can invite to Easter to join you? Maybe it's a Facebook watch party. A digital invite card is going to be available on our app, on our social media as a church. Go there right now. Save it to your phone. Text it out all week. Post it to your socials. We want this Easter to be the biggest celebration of the resurrection of Jesus we've ever experienced together in a social distancing world. We're so excited. I hope you're going to join us, invite some friends. Let me ask you this question as we jump in to our conversation this week. What has been the best part of the past 3 weeks? Well, for you, for maybe your family, what's been the best part? Here's what I want. Not just you to think about that or to like maybe talk about later knowing you won't. Let's just do that right now. Go ahead. With the people in the room with you, There's no one in the room with you. You're in there. You're by yourself, wherever you are. Text someone who's watching this or has watched this, or send them a direct message. Just some random person in your phone. Just ask them, what's been the best part of the last 3 weeks? What is it for you? I'm just going to pause for a minute or so, and we're just going to give you some time. If you need more time, then just hit pause in your house, your apartment, wherever it is you are. Answer that question with the people you're with. Go ahead. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for answering that question. For me, the best part of this last 3 weeks, I know what I'm supposed to say, and I know what the right answer is supposed to be, but I'm supposed to say there's been all this extra, like, beautiful time with my family, and it hasn't exactly happened that way at our house. I hope it will more and more as we're moving forward and we're getting used to this new normal that we're all in. But I'll have to be honest, at our house, we've gotten a little salty with each other this week. And I've been in my office at home, kind of locked away doing work a lot more than I thought I would be. And I haven't had all the free time that I kind of envisioned when this started. And we just need to work harder, mostly me, when I say we, at our house, of making this a family time. But the answer for me, the best part of the last 3 weeks really has been hearing the stories of what's happening in our church family, from our leaders, from people who lead life groups and rooted experiences to our staff and other people involved all over our church. We exist as a organization, as a church, to help one another follow Jesus. And that is happening in so many places all over northern Arizona. My family did, however, very early on in our time with COVID, we did an online painting class. Maybe you did this. There was some local places doing it with Zoom calls and different things. And we all did this, and all four of us painted this picture. And as you can tell, this is mine. I actually did this. Quite gifted I am at art. This is a masterpiece. Maybe we'll like auction this off and like, I don't know, do something good in the world with the $3 that would garner. But it's just a great time. And I know it's hard and it's stressful, but I hope you're finding the good in this season. Have you ever wondered, when we say that we're here to help one another follow Jesus, have you ever wondered why it's Jesus that we help one another follow? Of all the choices, of all the people and stories out there, why Jesus? This week, we're going to spend so much of our time here today and throughout this week, every day this week, helping each other understand Easter, preparing for Easter, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And in its simplest terms, it's the answer to why Jesus. Each day we're going to share a look at the events of what we now call Holy Week, from the life of Jesus during that week, from this Sunday till next Sunday, from Palm Sunday to Easter, the week that led up to his death, his burial. And spoiler alert, there is the resurrection. Holy Week, by the way, is way longer of a tradition than Shark Week, and way better. It's just an amazing time. And it began, Holy Week began, with a spontaneous parade. In Mark chapter 11, we read this, and we hear this, we see this story, as Mark tells us in his biography of Jesus, this amazing story of what we now call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. Jesus tells a couple of the guys in his crew to go ahead to the next village as he's getting close to Jerusalem. They've been walking from Galilee down to Jerusalem. It's been many days travel, and they're going for the Passover celebration. And he says, in the next village, the next little place you find people, you're going to find a young donkey, a colt. I want you to go get it, bring it back to me. And then he doesn't even tell them what he's going to do with it. It's just really kind of interesting, weird in some ways, very specific set of circumstances attached to what Jesus tells them to do. And then Mark records they go and did this. So they get the young donkey back, and Jesus jumps on the back of the animal, and he finishes the final leg of his journey, of his group's walk to Jerusalem for what was Holy Week already, because it was Passover, was coming in just a few days. But Jesus was about to change the meaning of Holy Week, about to change everything. And why we call it Palm Sunday is because of this part. And it says, many people spread their coats on the road, and others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. So it's this act of just celebration and excitement over who Jesus is and what he'd been doing and miracles and teachings. And that they're coming to Jerusalem for Passover, for this celebration. People just got excited as Jesus is going in this final leg of the journey into the city on the back of a donkey. They wave palm branches. If you ever go to Israel, you'll see all sorts of palm dates and palm trees of different kinds and sizes and shapes. And it makes perfect sense that they would have used those to just be excited, to be celebratory. So Jesus rides in to Jerusalem, the place where the temple of God is, the place where the religious celebrations all took place. He rides in like a king would ride into town. He sets up this event with his specific instructions in the first part of Mark 11 so that what was written hundreds of years earlier would apply to him that day. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, City of Zion, which is just another name for Jerusalem, be full of joy. People of Jerusalem, shout. See, the prophet Zechariah is writing a celebration of what's to come. He says, see, your king comes to you. He always does what is right. He has the power to save you. He is gentle and riding on a donkey. He is sitting on a donkey's colt. Jesus enters the city as a king. We know there are a few people around. Maybe in your mind, it's always been thousands and thousands of people. It could have been more than just the 12 apostles. It probably was. We don't know how many were there, but they were so excited. And if you're familiar with this story, you think they were all excited because they knew Jesus was the Messiah. See, I'm not exactly sure that was the case. Have you ever been in the middle of a situation and later you looked back on it and you saw that Jesus was doing something that at the time you didn't see? I think many of us, even if you don't totally understand who Jesus is, you can look backwards in life and see things more clearly than you can in the moment. And I think many of us have had that experience with Jesus. I want you to stop again and answer this question with the people in your room or the person you were texting earlier, messaging. When has there been a time that later you looked back and saw that Jesus was at work? Again, just stop for a second. We'll pause here and give you time. If you need more time, pause your feed. When have you seen backwards God at work, Jesus at work in your life? Talk about that for a minute.
I want to encourage you in this time just to try to find a Bible. Maybe you have one on your phone or an old copy somewhere. I would love for you to take a minute and grab that just real quick because I want to read something with you because not only is it just the most encouraging and interesting information that we can get from the earliest followers of Christ, but I also want to use this as a way of just updating you on some things because each of these verses just remind me of some of the incredible things that are happening at CCOF and through CCOF, but then also it's kind of just these incredible ways we get to be involved. So grab a Bible. I'm going to be reading out of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and we will start in verse number 23. Here we go. Let us hold firmly to the hope we claim to have. Let's hold firmly to this hope that we have. I love that reminder. Like, how great of a reminder is that today for you and I? Just keep holding on to hope. Let's just continue to do that together. The God who promised is faithful. Remember, we don't have hope because we're optimists. We have hope because God is faithful. And then it says in verse 24, let us consider how we can stir up one another to love. Let us help one another to do good works. I want to tell you that that has already been happening. Things have been going on already at our and through our church in so many ways. For example, we have people who have gone and served at the Flagstaff Family Food Center and helped them pack all sorts of lunches. We have people who've been making all sorts of like the face masks that are in need here at FMC. We have people that have been rallying together doing incredible things. And we want to let you know that you can get involved right now. One of the things we're doing is we're moving our attention and our focus to the need that we've been made aware of at Sunshine Rescue Mission, Hope Cottage, and Dorsey Manor. And right on our patio over at our Christ Church of Flagstaff building, we have these boxes, these bins that are out there. And I want to encourage you to take some time and donate some food. Maybe you're shopping online and having things delivered or picked up, or maybe you're still going to the store, whatever you're doing, want to encourage you, would you consider donating? They need things like evaporated milk and non-perishable foods. And we have that list. You'll see it on the screen available to you, ways that you can donate. But I want to encourage you in this time, just as the earliest followers of Jesus did, would you consider being rich and generous in good works? Let's figure out how we can spur one another on to more love in this season because it's easy right now to just feel trapped and isolated. So let's be full of love and good works. I love this reminder. Then verse 25 says this, let's not give up meeting together That's a funny verse right now, isn't it? Let's not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let's encourage one another with words of hope. That's what we hope this is doing for you right now. That's why we do this service every Sunday. That's why all of us at our church are putting stuff out on our social media to try to connect and give some hope. But I want to encourage you, there's some other ways you can give hope. And that's just trying to be in a community, more of a community with the people near you. A lot of our life groups, most of our life groups are still meeting together and they're doing incredible things. We're hearing stories about one life group where one of their members had their appendix removed recently and their whole life group just came around them and supported them. And then there's a life group that has a family member who recently had to be put into a care center and that they're going to visit them through the window and checking on that person. Like, there's just so many ways that our life groups are loving one another. And you might feel like, I feel a little alone right now. I feel a little left out. I wish I had a community like that. And we want to encourage you. Our church is trying to do each one adopt one, that each family in our church is adopting another family in our church. And that's starting in our life group. So I want to encourage you, maybe in this season, it's time to start a Rooted experience for you to go and join with a group of people who want to go through Rooted. We have the availability to do that. You see that information on how to reach out on the slide to join in a group, be a part of a Rooted experience, and find this community that you need in this time. And maybe you had a life group or a group like that, a Rooted group, and you got disconnected. Maybe reach back out, and now is the time to figure out how can we adopt one another and continue this home-to-home, house-to-house effort to show love to one another. I love this passage, and it reminds me so much about how you and I have this gift to continue to meet with each other and get creative in as we do that. And I want to inspire you to think of this, that you and I live in this community in Northern Arizona, and so much is happening locally that needs our attention. We think of our local business owners who are connected to our church family. We think of all of us who are going to be impacted by this. And I just want to remind you, would you take a minute and think about how you can shop local and how you can have a local mindset? And one way you can do that is by supporting Christ Church of Flagstaff financially and not holding back on your generosity. So many of you are continuing to be generous right now. And it is so amazing what you're doing, because you're not just supporting us, you're supporting all of our local partners, and you are blessing them. You are at home without doing anything other than your generosity, expanding that good work. And I want to thank you, so many of you who are continuing to do that. And I want to inspire even more of you. How can you have a local mindset and think about using our money to help local businesses, local church make a difference, and our local partners do the good works we feel like God is continually challenging us to do. Thank you for your generosity and being a part of this church family.